thankful to be here with you this morning. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How's that? A little better? No? Okay.
Maybe I should have gone a little bit too much.
The one on the right.
The slide bar is farthest to the right, the left.
How's that one? No? How about right there? No? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. A little better? A little better? How about that? There? A little better? Interesting. Now we're getting feedback here. Now we're getting real bad feedback. There, that one's better. Okay, how are we doing now? Okay, well, we're just going to have to...
We've got to report it someplace.
We'll just have to... Okay, they're claiming they can hear good now. All right. Thank you very much. Just making sure that the people, they can hear in the back. There's any listening online. There were people in the back and they can hear. They're back there doing their Sunday school project yet. And so, I have a thought placed upon my heart, many thoughts placed upon my heart, asking for interest in your prayers. And as we talk about, especially in our Sunday school, you know, about going on into, you know, millennial reign or of a resurrection or and being the children of Christ and so on, that very foundationally important is what, something I was dwelling upon my heart, and that is that being a new creature, okay? And we're gonna find is that it is very foundationally true. Now, those that are entering of and into the gospel of Christ and receiving that repentance and so on, but it has a lot to do with those that have accepted Christ, that have pledged their lives to Him, and maintaining that walk of endurance. Okay, it has very much to do with who we are and our way of life, our whole way of life. Our foundational faith and belief onto eternal life depends upon our having a new life in Christ Jesus. It is very eternally and powerfully true that we need a new life in Christ Jesus. As the ruler that came to Jesus by night and he asked, "What may I to have eternal life? May I do?" And he says, "You must be born again." And what does that signify? It signifies new life. And so the scriptures talk about something that is diametrically opposed to the spirit of the world. And it talks about a rebirth, a new person. And their person has to be born, and a new life begins. We know that is in Jesus Christ. A Christ-like image should emerge by growth through the Spirit and the Word, trial and endurance because of love. Now, we find something that is very opposed to what the old law was like. Now, many loved God of the children of Israel and up until the advent of the gospel of Christ, but many that served God out of obedience and came to be ritual, and the way that came to be when they turned on to idols, idol worship, and their heart left the Lord. But we find that the gospel of Christ, there is a liberty to believe And it leads us to faith out of love by a spirit that moves. And we are directed by that as well. But a Christ-like image should emerge by growth through the Spirit and the Word. Trial and endurance. You know, this is something that we are doing now. That is something that in our life as a Christian, as a reborn Christian, that we are seeking to attain to this Christ-like image. And that image is emerging. And it is by that growth that takes place in our life by trial and endurance. But it's because of because the love in which we have for our God, that we are willing to engage in that new creation, that we are willing to endure by faith and through these trials. Because He blesses His children. And He takes care of them. I would like to turn, if you will, please, over to 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What does that tell us? If all things are become new, that if our attitude is new, we should have a personality that is new. We have a design that is new. We have a purpose in life that we did not have before. The difference between having the feels of grandeur and of new life instead of that which is barren. Find places of feeding, of milk and honey that the Lord promises us. Blessing and protection and sustenance for our spiritual lives. And not that which is there. People are longing for reason and purpose in the very existence that they have. All things are passed away. You know, and it is our challenge as we live in Christ Jesus to be savoring and to be always looking into what does it mean to be a new creature. And that there are old things that are passed away. Not that we are, once becoming a child of Christ, trying to learn, because of the freedom we are given, trying to learn what it is that we can put back in. We find many people are trying to do that. And when the world tries to come up with something that is new, that because we have freedom in Christ, and there are things that are destructive, there are things that are good, and we've got to be watch that through the Spirit of Christ to try to understand what is good for us and what we need to stay away from. And not to integrate back into our life of faith the things that we gave up and should be apart from. There are things that Christians are trying to partake in today that they have no business in. They are taking fire into their bosom. And the things that can erode and destroy our faith. And that we need to maintain that new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so very much important. Because there's a scripture that's going to definitely talk to us about that here out of the Book of Mormon shortly. Please turn with me over to Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Ephesians in the 5th chapter. We need to continually look in our lives and do that assessment and realize, am I still behaving myself that new creature? Am I still behaving myself the things that are contained in the gospel of Christ? Am I exampling myself as one that is a new person? In the 14th verse, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He puts this, and we're going to see other scriptures coming, where he puts this as a person that has been put to rest and anew comes alive. We've seen such an example, you know, such as one that was in the missionary work in this area of the scriptures, the Apostle Paul. Did we see a new personality emerge? Did we see a new design on life emerge? Did we see one that was created? Yes, we did, didn't we? By a stark contrast, the design of his life changed. The personality of Paul, from a hateful and vengeful person, zealous of persecution, to one that was zealous of the commandments of God, that was zealous of the love of Christ, that was zealous to promote that others would want to know the love of Christ, and to try to help the promotion of the work in order in the missionary work, seeking out others that would want to promote the love of Christ and His holy gospel. Stark contrast, isn't it? We see what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Did Paul receive that experience? He certainly did. Please turn with me to Colossians in the second chapter. Our eternal life depends upon that new creature that is enduring and that has been created in Christ Jesus. Our eternal life depends upon it. We cannot turn back into the elements of the world. We cannot integrate the elements of the world that is not inspired after God. We need to know what that difference is. There are things that come down the pike every day that we need to try to decide, you know, because of these gray areas that man tries to throw out as even being the gospel of Christ. Colossians 2, 10 through 13. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." We mentioned that this morning in Sunday school about that circumcision made without hands, but of the heart. "In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." We find that the work of Christ has already taken place upon the day of baptism. Work of Christ in a person's life, bringing them, calling them, pulling them to Jesus Christ by the power of the Father, receiving that circumcision of the heart, the broken heart and the contrite spirit. We are buried with him in baptism. To the faith of what? The operation of God. He says, "As God with worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then you receive that forgiveness. Peter said that it was the answer of a good conscience when you were baptized. Why? Because in Philippians talks about working out your soul salvation with fear and with trembling. Why? Because you are to become a new creation. And that baptism, that you are buried with him in baptism, is a signification. It is a sign unto the Father that you're willing to keep his commandments and follow the gospel of Christ, that you're willing to take upon you Christ that you are to be living in His commandments, living in them. And, as it states in many places, that we are baptized unto repentance, meaning to be turned from what you came from, and not to bring what you where you were in with you. It talks about in the book of Luke, it says, no man having putting his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom. That means we're supposed to be plowing straight ahead. Not making circles and so on in the fields. Not getting drugged by the mule. But putting both hands to the plow. It takes all of our effort and sight. It takes a bona fide effort to look to and to understand where the things are that we need to be behaving ourselves in the gospel of Christ, being that example of His loving Spirit. Please look with me over into Romans in the 6th chapter. We're going to be back and forth out of these areas in the Bible. I have basically one scripture from the Book of Mormon this morning. Romans 6. First of all, 1 through 6. Now he talks about that wondrous grace through Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy. And he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are not to live no longer in sin. We're going to know the difference. We're going to be spiritually led. And that we are that sin should bring a distasteful knowledge to you. It should be a distasteful feeling to you because of its separation of God. It is not tolerant or tolerable of God. But we can be forgiven of them. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore ye are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You know, we think about that, where we need to perform our tasks in the world every day. And we walk among those that want no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord. They want no part nor portion of the gospel of Christ, or think it has its place and not there. It may be good for the inside of a church somewhere, but the rest of the time, you know, it's something that God will wink at and God will say is okay, that we can put on the world's camouflage. But we're to walk in newness of life, and that's something that you cannot turn on and off. And I know of myself, and I'm human, and I make mistakes. But I like to tell people, I praise my God. I like to tell people that what you see of me here, and that's my workplace, you'll see me in the pulpit at church. Or vice versa here. How you see me here is how you will see me at work. Matter of fact, I was telling some of the guys just yesterday, as we were working, I was tearing apart machine for shipping on the truck Monday. And I was out in the back parking lot, and I told him, I said, I was having a little conversation with the Lord out there. And I was asking the Lord, I said, you know, would you please let me know that what I am doing here, and I was lifting something particularly heavy, that what I'm doing here must be good for me and helping me live longer and give me better health. Because it sure feels like sometimes it's killing me. But that's what I related to the fellows, you know. That I believe that even the Spirit of the Lord can inhabit our workplaces. and we are to bear testimony of him everywhere in every place. Knowing this, that our old man, verse 6, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, and the thing is that serving sin is the biggest ball and chain. And those that know anything about particular habits, bad ones, know that that's a ball and chain, and they feel that they cannot get out of it. You serve sin, should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. In other words, those that are resurrected in Jesus Christ in that likeness by being buried with him in baptism and having newness of life. See, this doesn't speak to just one that is born. This is not a person that just entered upon the gospel of Christ and that is following in that path. It is for them, but it is for all of us. We have to take a look and do an assessment in our lives, don't we? Am I that new creature? Am I living in the newness of life each and every day? There are days we know that shine probably more than others, isn't there? And there are times that we know we definitely need to be carried. Verse 13, I'd like to read verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our physical instruments, our hands, our ears, and our eyes, all can be instruments of righteousness unto God, or physically carry us on into sin, and we don't need to go into all the ways that's possible. If it were not so, Jesus would not have said that if your right eye offend you, pluck it out, for it's better for you to be blind and not enter the kingdom of God, or whatever our extremity carries us on into sin. And sin has taken on a whole new definition even this day, and I don't even think that the world does not understand. The Christian community, in many aspects, not singling out, understand what the aspects of sin even are about. It says that those that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And there was even a notice yesterday, and I might mention the denomination, that was saying that those of have adverse lifestyle were even to come into the body of Christ, not even repent. Not good. Not good. God wants us to walk in newness of life in righteousness and for righteousness' sake. Because why? Because He's a righteous God. And He is holy. And in His kingdom is holiness. We are made enough, yes, through Jesus Christ, but we are to labor with our might in this world by faith unto endurance. Please turn with me to Ephesians in the 5th chapter. You know, we think about, we would like that these four walls would need to be expanded. We would want a much bigger building, and that the congregation would be swelling. How is that so? And that is because of each person in the congregation walking as a new creation, and others desiring and to know what that gospel of Christ is all about, what that life of righteousness is about, that those people are being blessed, and that there is that joy, there is that spirit that dwells among His people and in His congregation. We would want that sort of condition, wouldn't we? But as it says in the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, like to start verses, let's see, 1 and 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." You know, as we look into the Old Testament and when they prepared and they did sacrifice and so on, and then when it was done in faith, there was a joy when they were originally making the sacrifices in this tabernacle, that they did it out of a zeal and there was a joy and out of a righteous servitude. And it said when they made sacrifice that the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And it was that of obedience. It was that of the people that were making the sacrifice. But when they lost all their zeal and faith and went on into abominations and so on, and mixed where the Lord said you shouldn't mix with your people, and did things that He told them that they shouldn't be doing, the Lord said, I am away with your sacrifices. I want none of them. I have no pleasure in them. Here we find that this Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, He gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God was more than pleased, yet it was His only begotten Son that needed to perform this. I'd like to read verses 8 through 11. And we talk, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Now we take that recipe of goodness and faith and of truth, and we apply it to our decisions, and we apply it even to our business. We apply it to our homes. We apply it to our friends. We are proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. "Having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Or else what? If you have it, you've taken that candle, and the Lord said, you put it under a bushel, haven't you? You put it under a bushel if we haven't taken the time to reprove them or edify them in love. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And that, of course, is in the gospel of Christ. That is, you know, there's not a thing that we cannot solve applying the gospel of Christ and His commandments and the things that He has talked about in His Word to make manifest and to make light, and to solve things in His Spirit. Now, turn with me, please, over to the Book of Alma, page 317 in your Book of Mormon. Now, there was a question put to the church. And I'd like to start at... I turn back over to actually over to 3. So we're going to start at 3:15. I'm sorry. I was first looking over on 3:17. I put that down for a page area for an area, but we have to turn back one to about 3:15. Let's start off at verse 27. "And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenances?" That's what we talk about, where we are, that image of Christ that emerges in our life. We're to be a Christ-like individual. That is what we're attaining to. That is what we're going on to. He says that not laying again that foundation, but going on to perfection. It talks about Hebrews in the 6th chapter. Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with the eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to stand according to the deeds, judged according to the deeds which have done in this mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that you come unto me, ye blessed? For behold, your works have been works of righteousness upon yours. Or do you imagine to yourselves that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that He will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves being brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt, remorse in heaven, and remembrance of all your guilt? I would like to go forward a little bit. And I would like to go to verse 46. Not this all, the whole chapter is very good. And please take it as a little bit of homework. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if you have experienced a change of heart, and if you have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Have you walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that you have been sufficiently humble? Because that's a question that only you can answer, isn't it? And that as we examine our lives, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem His people from their sins. Behold, are you stripped of pride? They say unto you, if ye are not, you are not prepared to meet God. Behold, you must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. He was talking to the church here, wasn't he? We can take counsel from these words, can't we? I can take counsel from these words. I've got to be careful and to take a look that I have been humble. I've got to be careful that, you know, I'm trying to walk in the commandments of the Lord, and that in verse 50, am I stripped of pride? Do I think of myself above, which I should, which is just is one of God's creation, the most powerful, wonderful things that there could be? I've got to be careful that I'm not, that I'm stripped of envy, that I envy a person or a condition or so. I've got to look to myself and say, am I being that example I should be? Am I casting that light that Christ would have me cast? Say that which I should say in out of love and not of a contentious attitude or so, but of a faithful witness. Have I done this? I've got to look to my own life, don't I? Am I prepared? You know, and the thing is, I think that a person can know, as talks about in 1 John, about perfect love casteth out fear, that if you can feel God's peace and joy in your life, can you feel that peace that you have operated according to His will and commandments, that you feel assured if you stand before Him, that you've done according to His will? Please turn with me over in the book of Philippians in the first chapter, just over from Ephesians, in the first chapter. And I'm, you know, there's always a very wonderful introduction to these to the letters of Paul. And verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. You know, and being a creation of Christ, that we are an object of His master building, if you will, that we are allowed to feel joy, and we should feel a spiritual joy in our life. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, who's begun that work in you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He has began that work in you. He is continuing to build in your life. He's continuing to help you live by faith and to climb some of those mountains in life, or to have to descend in some of those valleys that he said he would help you to persevere and to get through. And you are still his. But that which had begun that good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He will stay with you. He will continue to work with you. He will continue to mold and shape you to the image of his begotten Son, only begotten Son. And I depend upon him continually working in my life, you know. I need to have him to keep working with this house here. I believe that some of my ways may be unconventional sometimes, and try to blaze ahead sometimes, and I hope it is in accord with the will of the Lord, because I believe that my line of sight is okay. But I want to stay within the commandments of the Lord. And sometimes I need his correction. And still realizing that I am an object of his creation. And to try to be that creation of his. 1 Corinthians 2, very important also. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. First Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 16. Very important that we may know, and that we may receive, and that we may be directed, that we may be comforted, that we may be corrected. And it says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We have not received, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." There are things that we'll talk about this day. There are things that we will hear amongst us this day that are freely given to us of God that the world thinks is nonsense. The world does not understand, but you do, because you are spiritual. That you have grown, even and matured, and even your understanding. The things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Who can know the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Here we find something very foundationally important and powerful. That new creature created in Christ Jesus, that he has invested his purpose and his plan and his spirit in you, that Christ-like image is to emerge in your life and in your ways and in your examples and in your witness. We have the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ is revealed through his Holy Spirit. It is revealed through his Holy Spirit. How is it that he told his disciples when he sent them out without script nor purse? He says, "You don't worry about what it is that you're going to say. I'll give you what to say and what hour you need it." Many times we've seen the scripture, the servants of the Lord, and said that they were moved to speak. They were moved what to say. It was given to them to know. I was reading of the story of Gideon, and when they were cutting the armies of Israel in order to go against the armies, the opposing nation army, and he said, go down and stand in the water. Take the people and stand down in the water. They'd already cut the people. Those that didn't want to go to war, you go on home. Well, the rest of them, let's go down. We're going to go down in the water. And those that they were going to cup the hand with the water, there were those that were going to bow their knees down in the water. And there was a portion of them, approximately down to 300. And he said, we got to, you know, make sure that the number is small. But as they were standing in the water, the Lord spoke to Gideon and told him the recipe for who it would that would go and fight for Israel. Fight for him. The Lord does speak and the Lord does move and the Lord does instruct his people. Ephesians in the 4th chapter. In the 4th chapter, I'd like to read verses 17 through 24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Vanity, or thinking of themselves above which they are in God's creation and God's humble nature. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. And if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we are to be putting off conversation. Certain conversation is not of God. That is maybe there are blasphemies in the world that we don't need to go into them. We spiritually minded, we need to know what they. We will know what to stay apart from. We don't need to know all these conversations about the filthiness that's out there. We know where they can be. We don't have to be in those conversations also. And I hate to say it, but you know, there are going to be associations that we may not be able to keep. The Lord says not to be within the fellowship with those of unrighteousness. Verse 29 says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, or the mercy through Jesus Christ unto the hearers, that they may want to receive mercy, that maybe those blinders, that blindness can fall from them, that they may be able to see, and to want, to know, to hear, and that the Lord may heal them. Okay, over in the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, and I would like to start at verse 9. And this is also a very powerful portion. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or sufficient to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Those of a new creation, they care whether they are forgiven or not. Those of the spirit of the world don't even care whether they are forgiven or not. They don't have the... You know, a spiritually minded person cares when they're in Dutch with the Lord. I use that phrase. But when they're apart from the Lord, they care. A spiritually minded person cares whether they've wounded someone else by word or by deed. Someone, they care whether they have forgiven somebody else that has wronged them. They care. But we are strengthened with all His might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. But this Spirit and so on, that new being, that new creature, that we want to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. We don't want, you know, a spiritually minded person doesn't want to be fruitful in an abominable or sinful work, or get ahead in a way that's dishonest, untruthful, lying, hurtful. Sin should be distasteful, and you should feel that when you have hurt or you have wronged or you have done opposite to the commandment of Christ. Lying should bring a hurt to you, and I'm sure that it does. You know when you're approaching the cusp of a lie. You know that and don't want to do that. Because we serve a God of truth, don't we? And His creation loves truth. Please turn with me over to the book of Romans. In the 8th chapter. Romans in the 8th chapter. I'd like to read verses 1, and then I'm going to go to verses 9 and 10 for sake of brevity. But please keep this reference. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Very, very foundationally important. We do not have condemnation with God. And even though man may accuse of who we are, that they will accuse falsely. Verse 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Spirit of Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the operation of the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life, it causes the desire of sin, you know, not to be there, and then the knowledge of what sin is in order to help us to abstain from it. And that the Spirit of God would help to move and help us to decide and help us to live. We want that direction, don't we? We need the direction, especially this piece of time. This is our time today. And we have given it over to God's time. That's what pleases God, is that you have given your time over to God's time. This is your life, and this is your time. But you've decided to make it God's time. You've decided to serve God with all your heart, mind, and might. And God is pleased with that, we know. Because that is in His commandments, isn't it? Absolutely. I'm going to please write down 14 through 17 because I need to go on from here. Our life sets upon a new base of principles. That the creation of Christ is based upon new principles or set of rules. Man operates according to rules, very self-serving, and cast about in the vanity of his mind. And God is set upon the rule of love. Love of God, love of our neighbor, of forgiveness, of kindness, of charity. A new base of principles. Even to rule our finances. I know they rule mine. And if we look to them, yes, they do. Because you know something? You know, if we are not blessed with a job, guess what? It's famine, isn't it? And there are many people out there, you know, that are in time of famine today, and they're still out there without no jobs, no homes, no money, no place to go. I believe we have a time of economic famine in this country. There are many people that are being blessed, but there are many people that are still, I believe, in famine. I'm going to take, and to please write down this reference, but in Galatians in the 5th chapter, we want to see evidence of this new creature. We want to see evidence. We want to know, God, am I walking close with you? Am I doing that which is pleasing in your sight? Am I operating according to the spiritual manifestation of Christ in my image? If I want to know, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, they divide out the things that are not of the Spirit of God and the things that are the fruits born of His very presence in our life. Fruits of the Spirit. Ephesians in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, talks about that we are buried with Him in baptism. I would like to turn there for just a moment. Ephesians in the 6th chapter. I just have one or two more things here. It is one of those subjects that it is hard to contain, you know, because there is so much. Because our whole Christian way of life is dependent upon repentance. Our whole Christian way of life is maintaining that light unto the world. I had the wrong reference there for that particular one. Okay, please forgive me for that one. That is the wrong. I'm going to go on from there. That is my mistake. One thought that came to me that prevailed upon my thoughts this morning, and that no one can push the truth into your heart and mind. No one can push it in. We have talked to many people, but need the Spirit of the Lord to carry it within our decision and our choice, doesn't it? And it is His still small voice, that speaks, and your choice to answer must prevail. That is how it works. No one can push you into being a new creature, new creation. No one can push you into the kingdom of God. And God cannot drag you into His kingdom. Or I shouldn't say drag, but will not drag you into His kingdom, would be a better way to put it. But it is one that where your choice, because He wants a willing children, a willing body of Christ to prevail. No one can push the truth into your heart and mind. His still voice speaks, and your choice to answer must prevail. For a last scripture this morning, I'd like to go into Romans in the 8th chapter, the 26th verse. As long as I got that reference right. Told you before, I already admitted to my humanity. 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I talk about our prayers many times, knowing how and what to say, and so on, for things that we feel. And the Spirit does help and make intercession. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love him, and that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. That we might conform to the image of his Son. That new creation, that new creature, must prevail. And as we are growing and living in Jesus Christ, and that our desire may be to do that assessment in our life, to realize or to go on to it, to talk to the Lord about being that creature, being that new creation that is patterned after the image of his Son. I thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers.